how can we ensure that our sons are well prepared and well launched to manhood? In the new book, How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connections to Build Good Men, Dr. Michael Reichert uses this fundamental question as a foundation to what we know and what we're missing when it comes to raising our sons. Reichert guides readers through decades of research and practical applications toward a new understanding of what boyhood should be and how we as parents and educators can prepare boys to be good men. Parents and educators have a unique opportunity to shift the cultural conversation and create a new paradigm for what it means to raise a boy, one who is kind, respectful, and fundamentally good, rather than the models of abuse, violence, and havoc that seem to dominate the airwaves today. Again, the name of the book is How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Build Good Men, and it's a pleasure. Michael, am I saying your last name correctly? Is it Reichert?
Probably once upon a time, but no, we say Reichert.
We say Reichert. I will say Reichert. You are very welcome. Michael Reichert is our guest, and again, the name of the book is How to Raise a Boy. All right, so in the introduction, I talk about some of the things that you set out to do here, but what brought this to your attention and saying that we need a guide like this?
Well, yeah, I think that really fundamentally, being a dad myself to two sons who are now adults and a grandfather to a 2.5-year-old boy, working with boys for the last 40 years and just being a participant in this modern changing culture that's been blessed by the women's movement and the movement for gender equality, it seemed to me that the time was right for us to be honest with ourselves about the nature of the boyhood that we have constructed for boys, and to really evaluate that institution, boyhood, against its outcomes. I say that routine casualties and losses are an inconvenient truth about the historic boyhood, and I think we're probably in a position where we're no longer willing to tolerate those kinds of losses and casualties, where we're actually able to care that boys have better outcomes, educationally, emotionally, relationally. I just think that maybe we're ready to be honest with ourselves. Boys didn't design boyhood, and it wasn't built for them. It was built for a broader social purpose that never really aligned with boys' actual human needs and hearts.
So what is what should we expect from boyhood in the sense of what is always, I guess what I'm getting at is what has changed in the sense of the way that we were raised, the way that we're raising our sons today, the way that it was done, the way that it is done. I mean, there's so many outside factors, but then there's, I guess, the intangible, the thing that won't change, which is, you know, what you're born with of being a kid.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that maybe another way of understanding that question is, what's the ethical standard that we want to apply to boys' development? What's the outcome that we're looking for as a society? And the standard that I like, it's called the human capabilities approach or the human development approach, is a full development of capacities. And we've applied that standard, that ethical standard, for example, to women and girls, and we say we're no longer going to tolerate girls being limited in terms of what they can strive for, what they can expect to do with their lives. They're not merely going to have to fit themselves to family roles and not enjoy broad public careers. When it comes to boys and men, though, we have normalized developmental sacrifices for generations. And I think that maybe what we're saying today is that's not okay anymore. We parents, we want more for our sons. We want them to be full, robust, alive, respectful, capable human beings.
When given that there are so many different factors in parenting, and you look at the practical applications of understanding what boyhood should be and how parents and educators can prepare boys to be good men. So let's just divide that for a second and look at the role of the parents, because they're the ones on the scene. They're there first. What do you think that in the book you show that parents, that an important takeaway should be in understanding their, not only their responsibilities, but just what is so could be so detrimental in the raising of a young boy?
Yeah, so I think that we could summarize, you know, the drift of my message in terms of three dimensions of boys' development: the relational, the emotional, and the behavioral. And in each of those dimensions or each of those spheres, there are particular implications for how parents should be thinking about providing a resource and attention and care to their sons. So in the relational dimension, the important thing for parents to remember is that boys depend upon their connection to their parents. We are hardwired to connect. We need to see ourselves in the eyes of our caregivers as delightful and known, understood, and loved. And so it's the parents' job, with boys as well as girls, with each human child, it's our job to provide that kind of knowing and loving. The problem has been that we've had this idea, this myth, that boys are independent creatures. They're actually non-relational, and they don't need the same kind of closeness and connection as girls do. And that they prefer to be the Lone Ranger, and that's the outcome we're striving for when we nurture our sons. Generations of men have wound up as adults lonely and isolated, cut off from people who really know them well and love them. We don't want that for our sons, and so the first and most important thing that I tell parents is, remember that you have this resource, this power. Even if your son doesn't seem to want to be with you, if he seems to be rejecting of you or irritated by you, remember that you have what he needs, and hang in. When it comes to emotional development, you know, the emotional dimension of our lives is how we actually code our experience for meaning. If we, and what we know from research is that boys and girls' experience of emotions is identical. It's not different. We both have, both genders, both sexes have the capacity to experience emotions fully. What does differ, and it differs because of social feeling rules, is that boys express fewer emotions, a much narrower band of emotion. It's not that they experience a narrower band, it's that they express a narrower band, and that's because they're taught that if they show fear or vulnerability, sadness, whatever, they're likely to get bullied or targeted for humiliation. And so at a very, very early age, boys learn to suck it up, to hold it inside. They go behind a mask. And unfortunately for many boys, if they stay behind that mask, cut off from those kinds of relational anchors, they lose track of their feelings. They might even become numb and disconnected from themselves. So parents' job, in addition to offering relationship, is to offer listening, to really be what we psychologists call the holding environments for our sons. We need to be the ones who basically receive what our sons are feeling and make it okay for our sons to get their feelings, their upsets in particular, off their chests. that they don't have to just manage their emotions inside the echo chamber of their own minds. And then lastly, behaviorally, sure. I would just add this. Because for many boys, it's not practical, possible to express emotions directly, they tend to act feelings out rather than express them. And consequently, many boys misbehave. They go off track. And they require limits. They require a firm parental hand. Now, when I talk about setting limits, I'm not talking about dominating boys or forcing them or controlling them. I'm talking about intervening deftly when we see that our son is off track, that he's off from who he really is. Stepping in, moving closer to our sons, checking them from acting out, you know, saying things like, I'm not going to let you hurt your sister, or I'm not going to let you not do your homework tonight, things like that. And then stepping back, setting the limit, but then being prepared to listen. And what will well up in the boy typically is a lot of emotional reaction. And I believe that's the energy, that's the negative energy driving the acting out, the misbehavior, and helping our sons purge themselves of that energy actually allows them to regain control over their own minds and their behavior.
Michael Reichert is founding director of the Center for the Study of Boys and Girls' Lives at the University of Pennsylvania. He is the author of the new book, How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Build Good Men. When we were talking just a moment ago, and I just want to touch on this before we move into educators' responsibilities, but as you say, you know, it's so important for parents to let their sons know it's okay to experience this emotional and physical pain. That's hard, isn't it? To not only, not to say just the typical toughen up, but to even watch your son or anyone in pain who is suffering and sort of watch them go through that.
Yeah, Joe, I think that's really an important point. I think that we parents who are charged with the responsibility to essentially be our son's counselors, be the ones that listen to them, you know, the ones that receive and hold their upsets, we have to be present, and we can't allow the way that we feel to take over that opportunity for our son to talk to us. We need some other place to go with how upsetting it is, for example, to see our son heartbroken because he didn't make the soccer team, or scared because some other boy is bullying him at school, angered and frustrated at some way that our son is being mistreated. But if we make that time with our son about our feelings, we're essentially telling our son, we're not going to listen to him. He has to listen to us. And I'm afraid that happens. That kind of reactivity happens to boys too much, you know, particularly when boys express anger or frustration or disappointment. When they're rejecting of a parent or a caregiver, we tend to react to that with negative feelings of our own rather than remembering that our job is to be the bigger person in that context, the one who's the listener.
Right. So let us talk about education for a minute. I mean, obviously, we can do a lot with our kids when they're home, and then we send them to school, and, well, all hell can break loose. So what do we do to those pressures of not only educators, but the little demons who are running aside alongside our kids?
Well, that's been education, and boys' education has been where I've done a lot of my research over the last 10 years. And the bottom line is that we discovered that boys are relational learners. that it requires a connection with a teacher or a coach for a boy to be willing to go to the very edge of what they know how to do and experience that kind of vulnerability and dependency on an instructor. It's for whom a boy will learn prior to what he's going to learn. That motivation comes out of essentially a relational connection with a teacher or a coach. And what that means is that schools need to be thoughtful about the relational needs of their male students. I think all students, but including male students, and teachers need to be the relationship managers, where they are ensuring that each boy that they're trying to reach enjoys some kind of personal connection to him or her as an entry point to mastering, engaging in learning. And parents have a role to play in that equation. And the role is to support the boy's relationship with his teacher or coach, not to step in and try to run interference for the boy, not to advocate for the boy instead of helping the boy advocate for himself. Their job is to support the work, the relationship between the teacher and the boy. Too many times, parents, I think, get triggered by their own negative experiences with teachers or their own fears and anxieties about their son, and they take over the relationship, disempowering their son and undercutting the relationship that's so vital.
Well, it's a fascinating book and a fascinating subject. The name of it is How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Build Good Men. It is now out. Dr. Michael Reichert, I thank you very much for being with us. Michael Reichert, thank you.
Nice being with you too, Joe, and nice being with your listeners.
Great pleasure to have you on the program. Again, Michael Reichert is the author of How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Build Good Men. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.